Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome to another episode of the Ruby After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Volume 5, Chapter 4, Lighting the Fire. A lot of fun stuff to talk about tonight. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, how's it going? Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. How are we all feeling tonight?
So the peyote's kicking in for everybody.
I'm just very grateful for the parents that I have in light of this episode.
It really makes you think, doesn't it?
I'm like, wow, I really love my mom. She's a wonderful human being.
My mom.
She's a good people.
I was thinking more like it's nice to be around friends. Oh. Friends you haven't seen in some time. It's just nice well,
Thanksgiving
to be
coming
together.
Up. It's time to be together.
Yeah. Well, hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome to another episode of the Ruby After Show. Tonight we're talking about lighting the fire. Let's not waste any time. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Mark Donica.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mark Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Donica. I have some thoughts and some opinions. I'm excited to discuss them with everybody here at the table.
And to his left, the lovely Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hey, guys. I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles.
And to her left, the lovely Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. You can follow me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. And to my roundabout left,
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. We are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag RWBYABTV. And all of these lovely folks have you guys covered on the live chat. So, guys.
Real quick from the live chat. The logo doesn't have X-Ray and Vav anymore because that show hasn't aired in a while.
Oh, wait. Do they have the wrong graphic again?
No, they have the right graphic. Oh, okay. Someone was just like, X-Ray and Vav's not on it. I'm like, because that hasn't had a season in a couple years.
We had initially had it on there because we did the after show, but we also did Crunch Time. Like, we know for sure that X-Ray and Vav is done. We don't know if Crunch Time is over or not. So if that gets announced as done, I don't know.
We'll spread things out and it'll be great.
1-800 panics. You know, what do you want? You want something
Ruby
current?
Ruby Cheeby.
Yeah, the Cheapster, yeah.
Just Ruby all
go a little
over.
Bit cheap. Why not?
Irma
Day 5, I guess.
The no on the spot achievement.
You're
making Mark think too much.
I don't want to do it.
We don't have to start watching on the spot, do we?
Like, you know, we've got
We'd
so
We'd be
much,
the first.
We've got so,
oh.
That's a common joke.
What the fuck?
Nah. I forgot. I still need to get Ruby drops, but the Cam Camp ones will do just fine.
Oh, my God. Oh, there we go. So much for keeping the language at the level of the show.
You know what?
We're done.
Whatever. I mean, it's
good
all
night,
on
everybody.
It's all on one podcast now, so it's
this
like whatever.
This is true. We're already explicit.
Yeah.
Much. And plus, hearing Samantha Ireland say, seriously, Tabby, what the fuck? Yeah. Will always give me life.
I feel good inside.
All right, guys. Yes. Talking about this episode, I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there. Let's go across the table, starting with you, Mark. Initial thoughts and feelings, because I got a little verklempt during this episode.
When?
Verklempt. It's fine.
No, but when?
At the end.
Oh, at the very end?
At the very end.
Oh my god, she's such a bad mom!
What's Well, no, I mean, there's also the talk about growth and...
how far we've come.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, there's a lot to get emotional about in this series. But it was the ending in particular which had me all verklempt.
Mm-hmm. For me, that was more of a moment where I went, it's like, suck it, shippers. a little bit more. But it was wonderful. In terms of Team Ruby, my favorites used to jump around, but and I talked about it, I remember talking about it in the finale, where consistently over the past season and this season, my favorite character has been Weiss. And it continues, just because of all that she's going through, all that she's been through, and everything, even just with the last episode and this episode. The whole season for her so far has just been absolutely fantastic. So and how strong she's been to have a moment where she felt comfortable enough to just be like, oh, a friend, thank God.
All of the NPCs really, are gone. Great, let's hug.
Really, really nice moment.
It was a beautiful moment of vulnerability that, you know, she hasn't had the ability to show in a long time.
Yeah.
Because it's, not to steal from another movie or anything like that, but it's been concealed, don't feel, ever since she went home.
Well, her home life is hell, so...
Mm-hmm. Stacey, how are you feeling after this episode?
Just teared up a little at the end, but it wasn't because of the show, promise.
No. There's just something in your eye.
You're cutting onions.
Allergies. There were onions in the other room and just, all right. You know,
onion fairies.
Yeah, they come out at the most inopportune times, guys. Watching Weiss kind of grow with this agency, I mean, there were certain things I loved about how they were reunited, but just for her to become this strong, kind of independent character who can act on her own finally, but still be able to fall back and rely on her friends and be like, I'm so happy to see you, and openly admit that was really nice to watch on screen.
Katie? I just really appreciated, well, subtlety's out.
The sass in this episode
was amazing. Although I have to say my favorite part is Yang standing up to Raven. Just that I'm not here for you, I'm here to do this, and refusing to conform to mom's expectations when probably 2-3 seasons ago she would have done just that.
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely a fair assessment, especially because of how relentlessly and how obsessed she talked about it when she talked about it in trying to pursue her mother in the past. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like that's a fair assessment. I liked this episode. It was a little shorter than, you know, than we've been getting the last couple weeks, but even though it was shorter in terms of the running time, I feel like the emotional weight was still there.
Oh, yeah.
I still got that, you know, big emotional gut punch at the end there, and it was, so all in all, I really liked this episode. But to your point about talking about Yang standing up to Raven, let's go ahead and dig into that. Guys, did you expect this to be the way it went down when mother and daughter were finally reunited?
No. But the second the dialogue started, I kind of went, oh, okay, this is how it's playing out. Like, I wasn't surprised when we reached that inevitable conclusion.
I'm not surprised at where it went, but I am surprised at how... Well, let me say it, and then I'll keep going. At how terrible a mother Raven is. Oh. Not just in the sake of the abandonment and she only gets one, but in the sense of, this wasn't, oh, honey dearest, I'm so happy to see you again. This was, all of my underlings are right here. This is going to be a show to show how I have dominance over everybody, even my own family. Yeah. And exercising that sort, or attempting to exercise that sort of control over somebody that you don't even know, to be perfectly honest. You don't even know who this person is. And I say that on either side. They, as far as you know, they have your blood. That's all you got. And as Yang says, they're more my family than you are or ever will be. And so the... God, Raven's just the worst. But... The performance of everything was just disgusting, and I hated it.
Oh, yeah. Malachroma in chat, already on fire. Raven being like, family's only around when you need something. Lady, you can teleport. You could have said hi whenever. Teleport down from your high horse.
She's a ridiculous piece of work all on her own. As far as being surprised at what Yang said, I think we really were kind of misdirected in this way, because we've had so many conversations about, okay, was Yang going to Ruby or was she going after her mom? She's obviously going to Ruby, right? No, wait, she's going for her mom. Hold on. Everything we knew is a lie. And then, you know, now we get this conversation. It's like, oh, no, it's for Ruby. We were on the right track. You know, we had the right faith in Yang here.
When she said, I'm not here for you, I'm pretty sure my heart skipped a beat because, like, you know, there was always this part of me that was really disappointed that she went after Raven and not Ruby. Going through, using Raven as a means to get to Ruby was really beautiful. And I'm wondering if, yeah, that isn't the most expedient way to try to find Ruby, but if it also wasn't kind of intentional of like, oh, mom, you think I'm here for you? Oh, how cute. Like,
I guess everybody gets one.
If it wasn't kind of a killing two birds with one stone sort of thing to be like, hey, mom, I want answers. But if I pursue you for them, I'm never going to get them. So guess what? You're not my first priority. Do you think this was a potentially strategic maneuver on Yang's part?
I feel like they're both filled with mind games. Heavy on both sides.
And so I wonder if this wasn't Yang kind of feeling out her mom a little bit. Like, I know she hasn't been there and Dad's warned me, but I need to see for myself. And right off the bat, like, oh, yeah, okay, no, this is what's happening. Fine, I'm not here for you.
I think the reason why they were standing so far apart was because there was an emotional minefield between the two of them, and they had to step so lightly. That was dumb.
Like, either was willing to step through. They were like, no, we're going to set off all these mines.
You step first.
Is the ground beeping? I think the ground's beeping.
You're the one that can teleport. You go first.
I do want to put a quick pause in the conversation just because I forgot to mention it at the top of the show. Guys, please no spoilers for the next week. We are going for the public release date, as is the community guidelines, et cetera, et cetera. Also, I have not watched the next episode, so please personally don't spoil me.
Neither have I.
Also selfishly.
Oh my. Okay.
On a very selfish note, please don't spoil me.
It's almost like it's tough to figure out a recording schedule.
So talking again. Okay. Unpause. Back to the conversation.
I was trying to pause the whole time, but I could not blink.
Like you wanted to do, like,
yeah, and like I went to take a drink and I just went, no, I'm pausing, and then I just couldn't keep my eyes open.
It's really hard not to blink.
It's really hard.
But yeah, to kind of, I feel like a good indication for Yang, and maybe even Yang was a little conflicted up until this moment, in terms of like, hey, I'm finally with my mom, maybe here's a chance to forge a relationship. But I feel like the second Raven presented the, oh, like, oh, you've earned it. You've earned the right to a relationship with me now.
No.
Yeah, he's like, I don't think so. Hold on.
Take it back.
Yeah, now, I'm done.
Now that it's a point where she has less control, it's okay, let's go into private where I can have a quote, real conversation, and she'll be able to control a little bit more information, but I think it's more of a stuff that I can't say in front of all of my underlings. That's what I think.
Yeah, and what an interesting sort of power play on both of their parts. It could have easily been Raven been like, oh my goodness, my daughter's here. Come on in. Like, we clearly got a lot to talk about. You know, all you minions, you just hang out here. I need to have a one-on-one with my daughter. That wasn't it. It was like, oh, the prodigal son has returned. We welcome you with open arms, even though, like, she was the one who left.
You have finally learned that your father and your sister and your uncle are not worth your time, but I am the true family member. Like, oh my, and how she just completely wrote off Ruby. Like, doesn't matter that we're technically family, she doesn't have my blood, she doesn't matter, whatever. She's with my brother, and... Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
It doesn't matter that she's important to you, she's not important to me.
At @cam_comedia on Twitter, Raven, see, I am a good mom. I got you a playdate with your friend Weiss.
That was totally intentional and 100% my plan from the start.
You were coming, your I saw mom her from kidnapped afar.
Me? You kidnapped her?
Mom!
So good.
Mom, quit embarrassing me in front of my friends that you kidnapped.
Ugh, God. Mom, quit kidnapping my friends. It wasn't funny the first time, and it's not funny now.
But, yeah, I feel like, again, there's just so much to dig into with the icy interactions between the two of them and the fact that they made a big scene in front of all of her underlings. It was very much an intentional undermining her authority in this regard, because it's like, you haven't done me any favors. But talking about her ability to teleport, we actually get a nugget about what her semblance actually is. It's not just teleportation. She has the ability to mark very specific people. And
how much you want to bet she's marked Vernal?
I don't know if she's got a limit on how many, but I would assume if it's like an unlimited sort of marker situation, absolutely.
She's got very strategic
places. She would want to keep tabs on the Spring Maiden for sure.
Also, now everyone that was witnessing that conversation knows how that works if they didn't already.
Yeah.
And I would bet that they didn't already.
No, that was probably a bit of a surprise.
I wonder how many people were thinking to themselves, did she mark me? Did she care about me?
Did she just teleport like, right behind me?
Well, sketchy guy obviously wasn't important enough.
We don't know that just yet.
He doesn't get a name. The subtitles just call him sketchy guy.
Well, a lot of people in chat are saying that you would have to tag Vernal in order to get back to the camp, because who else in camp would there be?
That's true.
I also wonder, now that we're getting into the specifics of it, how much power it uses. What if there's more than just a personal reason to why everybody only gets one?
Yeah, that's very true. Maybe...
Does she have to mark them again?
Yeah, maybe it's like a hunter's mark scenario where it wears off after a certain amount of time.
Maybe.
It's got a range of more than 200 feet, though.
But yeah, or she can only use it a certain number of times per day. Like, yeah, what if there might be some limitations on that prevent her from making frequent trips. Mm-hmm. Oh, possibly. Yeah. Potentially.
We'll see, or maybe we won't.
But talking about who she's chosen to mark, she's marked for effect, Yang's dad, Yang, and Crow. And for people who she seems to kind of detest for being related to her, she's still keeping tabs on them. Mm-hmm. Now, again, do we think there's a little bit more to it than just like, oh, you know, this is the bandits are my real family. You all don't matter because you turned your back on me.
Well, we know that something happened with Oz. We don't know what, but we got that little, he's a fool for trusting him. He's not what he seems. And I made the mistake of trusting him once. I'm like, okay, we have some backstory here. And the big question is, whether it actually is one of Oz's professedly numerous screw-ups, or whether it's something Raven took the wrong way.
Right.
Difficult choice needed to be made and she felt that it was the wrong choice or that it wronged her somehow. Like, it could be anything. We only have a little bit of her side of the story, and let's be real, she's already kind of shown that she's not the easiest human to get along with.
Yeah, I feel like at this point it could equally go either way. We could have either case be very plausible.
I'm just thinking.
Well, there's a lot to read into. I mean, the fact that she seems to have a disdain for family and yet still wants to actively keep an eye on them, it gives her a little bit of depth.
Well, it also throws her own quote back in her face. Family only comes around when they need something. So that keeping those marks means that she's going to need them for something. Whether it's something positive or negative, she's going to need them for something.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's such an unfair thing for her to say. Like, they only come to me when they need something. You're hiding in the woods. You have made yourself a difficult person to find by design. You have not bothered to cultivate a family relationship, and you only show up at your whim to do what you want. So, family only shows up when they need something. No, I mean, you don't get to be mad about that.
Could you imagine?
That's the relationship you started.
Could you imagine if Yang was successful after tracking her down after all this time, and she was like, yeah, Mom, I have to ask you, did you want to go see a movie? Like, Thor Ragnarok is playing right now, and I haven't had a chance to go see it. I feel like it'll be I hear it's a fun one. Like, do you want to go see that one?
You want to get dinner or something? I found a sweet porridge spot a little bit down where I punched your goon in the face.
There is a dual-purpose gas station bar that we can hang. It's
pretty sweet idea.
Maybe he'll serve food. Who knows?
Multi-million-dollar idea.
Can buy a tiny little overpriced bag of chips and get a questionable cocktail.
It seems like the perfect place to do some mother-daughter bonding.
Absolutely.
Just for funsie.
In the middle of nowhere, sure.
Yeah.
To your point, Katie, I agree. I also think it's another sense of, especially because of the way that she said it, was a way of going, I'm so powerful, family's coming out of the woodwork because they need a favor, which is another reason why her Yang revealing it and then Weiss freeing herself was, damn it, I've been caught, I need to go back into the tent. Let's to the tent.
All right, we're gonna recruit on this one.
Yeah, wish
everyone didn't see that.
The incredibly soundproof tent that no one will ever overhear. Like,
no.
What I don't understand is how Weiss didn't overhear pretty much them yelling at each other.
I mean, that tarp was probably soundproof.
She was
in an open cage.
I feel like she was probably pretty focused. I'll let that one slide. Like, she was really focused on getting her night ready to go. They were having intense discussions about their escape plan.
And also, who knows how hard the clinging and clanging of the sword versus the bars was.
And also, not to mention that, like, Raven might have been announcing things, but Yang was keeping her voice relatively normal. She wasn't addressing the rest of the peons surrounding. So it could be that Weiss was just hearing Raven. So, yeah, I'm willing to let it go. It's fine.
She's talking about herself again.
There she goes, bragging to anyone who will listen.
And on Twitter, an amazing, amazing name. Pyrotech Nick.
Yes.
I've seen telenovelas where the mother wants to eliminate her grown children. And they still show more emotional connection than Raven towards Yang and Ruby. Though, to be fair, Ruby's not her kid.
Yeah.
So
I mean, but still,
thorn in her side. Also, if people say that she looks like her mother, a spitting image of the woman that took Ty away.
Yeah, we have no idea what the order of things. Oh, go ahead. No, it's okay.
I mean, how do we know that she took Ty away? Raven might have just headed for the hills.
It might have, like, again, we don't know Raven's side of the story yet, so it could very well be that Summer and Tai Yang fell in love, and that's why Raven chose to be like, you know who needs me? The bandits. Like, all of the bandits.
My bandit friends will never abandon me.
They love me over there. I'm going back to them.
The people who raised me want me back. The bandits will never cheat on me. They understand me.
I just need to talk loud and keep them at about 30 feet away, so it's like a theater performance.
Because I can't let anyone get close to me ever again.
And Raven, easily the most powerful person in camp, at least before we adopted a tiny maiden and raised her as our own.
Yeah, we don't know what happened first, if Summer and Yang fell in love, or Tai Yang fell in love, or if Raven left first and that's why they ended up falling for each other. We have no idea what the parental situation is, because lo and behold, it seems like parents don't really want to talk about the past too much.
Communication is such a problem in this show. Oh,
man. Well, yeah, they took down the tower.
I just made dumb tips.
Yeah. No, people actually.
I love that you made that joke and then took a sip.
Yes. It was planned. I was waiting for it.
Yeah. Layers like onions.
But again, talking about Weiss and Weiss breaking out. Getting to see the knight again and seeing how tall he is at, because the last time we saw him fully formed was in the middle of the air. Scale was sort of hard to judge, but seeing him tower over everybody, that was pretty dang cool.
Oh, yeah.
Especially compared to how big he can be, like we saw in the intro.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, yeah, we have an idea of scale because we had that short from way the heck back when of her fighting it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's been a while.
Well, that's a very good point, because it was a particular height and it comparatively
was very big.
It was very big, but it looks like in the opening it's bigger than it was in the white trailer.
I have to go back and look.
So now,
no, can I wonder you're if, right. it is, if yeah. it's scalable. If like she can change. We already know for a fact.
But yeah, even
because it was so tiny.
In season 3, when we saw the sword for the very first time, you know, that's even more terrifying. Imagine Winter taking not a pack of Beowulfs, but just making a giant Beowulf.
Guys,
here's an idea. A whole bunch of really, really tiny Beowulfs that scurry in through all the cracks like rats, and then you make them big.
Or they, like, grossly amalgamate into
like a Dark Souls monster where it's just bodies.
Like a Rat King.
guys, we could have the knight be the size of a Jaeger or an Ava.
Da-da-da-da-da-da!
Yep. I'm here for this.
I mean, that's kind of what we have in the opening. She's standing on the end of its blade.
Weiss getting the goddamn knight. Yeah, we already went there with Nikki, so whatever, screw it.
We did. Okay, we need to talk about the other aspect of this episode, but before we move on, do you guys have any final thoughts about Yang fighting the bandits, reuniting with her mom, and then reuniting with Weiss?
I really liked that. I watched this like 3 times at this point, and taking a look at all the bandits' weaponry, it's either very simple blades or knives taped to guns. Like,
it's also a gun.
It really is.
With the help of duct tape.
It's all this extremely improvised piecemeal. We're obviously living in the woods weaponry. And so Yang pulls out this weapon that's obviously for a huntress. And you can kind of see all their faces go, oh. Whoa, we have misjudged this situation. But I have my sword knife. I have my... I am losing
my sword knife. It's like sword knife wrench. Knife wrench.
Gun blade was what I was trying to get to. But I haven't slept well in 2 months, guys.
But now it's along those lines, I want to see the bandits have guns that fire knives. Just because there's nothing.
Well, and
why not?
Sketchy guy. Like that, yeah. Well, sketchy guy had a gun with a knife on it, and then, like, at the end of their fight, he kind of realized, "Oh, this isn't working. Oh, I have a knife!" And then she foiled that completely. Stick it with the pointy bit.
I always appreciate in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. they have a character who combined a shotgun and an axe to make a shotgun axe, and so I always laugh because I think of Ruby Weapons when I think of that.
I think I have seen that episode, and it was beautiful.
It's delightful. But the only other thing I want to say about that particular fight is Yang's hand still shakes when she gets into a skirmish. And I feel like that's a good indication that that's not going away anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's still dealing with stuff.
Yeah. I think we're going to go down that path at some point and kind of explore what's going on with Yang there.
Yeah.
And also the fact that she didn't go immediately into anger. She didn't go straight into semblance.
She didn't use her semblance at all during this fight. Right. So it's a combination of, like, she's exerting some self-control, but also scars don't heal so easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that they didn't just go, I'm okay with my arm now, and now my PTSD is gone. Like, that ain't how it works.
You've unified a Benjamin.
And I like that they didn't try to make it seem like that's how it works.
Yeah, it's just, you know, these guys are really small fries in the grand scheme of things. I'm just really worried about the next time she has an actual big bad to go up against, especially now that Weiss is with her. Being with a teammate, if they go up against an opponent where teamwork is required, Yang might hesitate, and I worry about the implications of that. So, mm-hmm. Any other final thoughts?
No.
All right, guys, before we move on, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on, especially since we are under the new name of Rooster Teeth Reviews in the iTunes store that helps make us more searchable when you look for Rooster Teeth content. And guys, if you do leave a comment, you will get a special shout-out on the show.
Oh, go like... ahead. Just 729, who left us a prediction, a 5-star rating and a prediction.
Yeah.
Which I don't like the implications of this, but that's fine. Oscar joins Team Juniper, and it becomes Orange. ORNJ. Okay. Because then, what's going to happen to Ruby?
I would hope
she gets
that
her own team back.
I would hope that that means that she's got her own team back. Mm-hmm. That's what I hope.
I hope Oscar, like, I know Oscar is going to be going through a lot, and we're about to talk about it. But why doesn't Oscar get his own team?
Oscar's team is everyone.
Oh,
I so mean nice. To be fair.
But like, thank you, Jess729.
Yes, for sure. You guys are the best. And we also love, you know, people who leave us comments in the hashtag and the live chat and YouTube comments. You guys are just delightful, especially since we're now at the Rooster Teeth animation site as opposed to the main AfterBuzz YouTube page. So all of your comments are very, very much appreciated. Again, helps make us more searchable. So thank you guys so, so much. All right. Yeah, let's go into it a little bit. We were talking about potential shipping a little bit last week, and it's funny to go from, like, cute looks to let's punch each other in the face. He looked so happy,
and then he looked so scared. All of the facial expressions just in this whole scene were beautiful. Just... it was so much fun to watch.
The animation, again, has just gotten better and better. Yes. Oh, it's so pretty.
And just all these little minor tweaks and minor expressions, and it's wonderful, and I adore it.
I think probably my favorite part of this segment of the episode was Ruby getting punched in the face and then giving Oscar that look of like, you,
and you die
me,
now.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
And he's just like, oh no. Oh,
what have I done?
Don't apologize in the middle of a fight.
No. Stacey, oh, go ahead.
No.
We talked a lot last week about Oscar and how about how you know, having an old wizard in his brain is most likely going to affect his life moving forward. How do you feel about, you know, the current sort of state of mind and state of being while also very much launching this very inexperienced kid into straight up combat training?
I mean, on one hand, he's got to learn it. And it is, you know, as we're learning, it's more and more of a pressing matter. But this poor kid. Like, there's just this one point, he goes, I had no idea, it'd be so exhausting. But it's like, first off, you're using your own muscles to try to fight these battles. And then you are being taken over and passively sitting there as someone else uses your muscles. And you just come back from that, like, that can't be.
No, that can't be great. Poor thing. That can't be fun.
Malachroma, bless them. When you want to ship the adorable puppy love, but there's an old man in the way. Not something I ever thought I'd say. No. And I'm like, yeah, no, I was in Yu-Gi-Oh! Fandom. I get it.
It makes things very uncomfortable, though. Like, wait a second. Oz could show up at any second there.
This is just also ridiculously Yu-Gi-Oh! For me, that it just automatically pushes all my little happy buttons. I never got past children's card games, y'all. So this is just wonderful for me.
The somebody left a note in the hashtag, and I'm trying to find it, but I'll find it later. looking at this, I think the moment that really kind of unnerved me a little bit was Ospen going, "Mind if I, take a swing at it?" And then taking over Oscar's body.
Without waiting for a response.
He didn't get a yes. And granted, Oscar might have been like, oh yeah, sure. And it just might have been a nonverbal thing. But I don't like the implication of Ospen just being able to take control when he wants. Because that means up until this point, he's just been very courteous. And I don't care. And again, it's a little thing. Maybe I'm reading a little too much into it. But I don't care for the, I'm just going to take the wheel now.
Well, I wonder if it's going to get him killed, to be perfectly honest.
Ooh.
Like, it's talking about how he's made more mistakes than any person and how he's been cursed to stop Salem and how things are getting so as intense as they are now, where he may get so impatient, Oscar may fall behind compared to the rest of the team, where to a point where he's not at a point that Ospen likes, where maybe it won't necessarily get him killed, but maybe he'll get rather injured just because Oz was impatient. And but either way, I do agree that not having the verbal affirmation of go ahead, but either way, there's going to be some tension with that, with one of those decisions later on.
Going off of that, I cannot wait for the inevitable battle of the wills at a very, very inopportune moment. Each of them thinks that something different is the correct choice. We have that clash. And then the moment to make the choice is lost and bad things happen.
And like, Oscar will,
I'm waiting for it.
And Oscar will rip in half.
No!
Jesus! Well, like a starfish.
That escalated quickly.
That's his semblance. Permanent cloning.
Ospen's
is that convenient?
Ospen's asexual, so he can just do it.
We went from 0 to 60 in a matter of a half a second.
Wow. We went from plausible to good.
Talking about
hashtag squishy.
Talking about
yikes. Dear Lord.
Talking about potential semblances, though. We still don't know how the Ospen semblance sort of situation works. If he picks up semblances along the way, if he just takes on whatever semblance his current host happens to have, or if it's just like, okay, no, Oscar's semblance will be his semblance, or maybe he can only reincarnate into people who share the same semblance as him.
Or don't have one.
Or,
everybody has one.
Right. Everybody has silly one. Me. But whatever the case may be, and we're going to do a little speculating here on for both him and Jean, what do we think Oscar's eventual semblance will be?
I don't know if we know enough about Oscar to really say
as a person.
That. Yeah. Because everyone else is like, all right, what they do, what they can do, knowing what we know about their history, etc. That all makes sense. Oscar is like, you're tiny and adorable and also a farm boy, but that doesn't really tell us anything about your deepest fears and desires, so how would we know? Mm-hmm. Also, you have an old man living in your head, and I don't know if that's going to affect anything.
That seems to be overshadowing quite a bit.
Green aura, though. Is that Oscar's or is that Osbin's?
That's usually any time Osbin's taking control is when that pops out.
No, it was in the middle of the fight. He had taken control, mm-hmm. and then he put the aura up. It was the specific aura effect. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess their auras are one and the same now, unless we see otherwise.
Stacey, did you have a thought on it?
Oh, I think we've covered pretty much
it. Oh, okay.
Where I'm standing.
You're allowed
with that.
To have
that's
thoughts.
That's okay. No, that was.
I would like for it to be something to like in the show and here and on the internet. Everybody says little baby Oscar, tiny Oscar. Not something to compensate for his size now. To make him larger than life,
are you going the giant head route?
No, I'm not going the giant head route. That would be something physical. I'm going to go for any anime fans, for any One Piece fans out there. They have something called Haki, which is essentially a presence thing where your King's Haki specifically, where spelled Haki, not Hockey.
I was going to say, hang on.
But where merely the presence and the focus and the determination of somebody. Have you ever been standing in a crowd of people and for some reason there's just somebody that everybody turns and follows?
Nat 20 on your intimidation.
There's just a presence. There's
somebody
just a presence
just
about somebody.
Charismatic and you don't know
something.
Why.
They have something. Mm-hmm. He would have that to the nth degree and maybe specifically be able to speak and be heard more than just, hey, I'm shouting, but and not necessarily like something in the mind.
People
but
would listen as opposed to just hear.
Speak and he listens. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Something to propel him into that leadership role that we assume he's kind of trajectory.
That's a very unique one. I haven't heard that.
That's just something that I've thought of over the past couple of days.
I like that.
Yeah.
See, I was kind of thinking in terms of like a support power, but I really like that.
That's support. Yeah. That's like a bard.
That's true.
That's somebody shouting instructions that you can do with people from the sidelines, and then jumping in with time magic, Ospin.
Someone with that power at karaoke. Yes.
Okay, but
we're doing Gangnam Style. Okay. Okay, Oscar. Okay, whatever.
I learned to dance in 30 seconds.
But bardic inspiration as your semblance. Hmm? You say words, and people do things better. Like. Holy cow.
In real life, mm-hmm. that would be an amazing power.
It's called motivational speaking.
We can go down a deep, dark rabbit hole talking about motivational speakers, but I refuse.
Oh, I love this one. Sorry. Chat. You go first, and then we'll talk about chat.
I don't even know. I agree with Kate. I don't think we know quite enough about him. However, I really like Mark's idea. I am fully on board.
Not pouring a Coke.
Before we are
not sponsored by the Coca-Cola Company.
Before we take a note from the live chat, I do want to give a shout out. I found the Twitter comment that I was talking about earlier. That moment when you realize that Oscar has lived on a farm his whole life and has no training whatsoever and is still a way better fighter than Jean. We don't know that for sure.
Disagree, my friend. We've seen Jean in action. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing.
Though
he's that's, gotten better.
He to that same work. To that same point, cows are no joke. I said they're no joke. Why are you laughing?
Because they're just so funny, Mark.
Okay, outside of King of Fighters, you're not going to do hand-to-hand with a cow.
we absolutely had King of Fighters.
There's cow from Dynasty Warriors.
We have Malachroma. Oscar pulls a Scanlan and gets a counterspell semblance. Can you imagine a semblance that can specifically target and counter other people's semblances?
Well, no, that...
Holy cat!
No, that's...
Ninth level.
No, that's 100%. Possible, if not
I'd love that.
Highly probable. Going back to One Piece, there is a god that controlled lightning against the main character, who is a rubber man. So literally all the people are going, you're going to fight him? And the face that the god makes once he realizes I'm dead is one of the funniest slights of animation that you'll see. But yeah, I think that's something that's going to happen and be introduced eventually in this world.
And then we have from Aquil. Aquil? I'm going to butcher. I already butchered that pronunciation.
You butchered it pretty bad.
Jean is mercy. So my question is, are we talking before the rework or after the rework? I'm thinking after the rework.
Yes.
Before the rework, it was mass res. After the rework, it's...
Did somebody call a doctor?
Fills up your res, can fly, can't let... Rework mercy is wonderful.
That's and power I'm so up.
Happy. Yeah. Yeah. That ult, though.
I don't think they'll go this route. I think they will definitely go the route in terms of, like, it being something inherent with his character and something that will be of great use to the team. But I think it would be really funny if Jean's semblance ended up being just something completely nondescript that is in no way, shape, or form indicative of his character or helpful to the situation.
Could you imagine? Like, it's been building for all this time. What's a semblance? What's a semblance? What is it?
And then
it's like nothing.
He can make puppies appear.
He has the saddest quirk.
So two things. Well, I don't know. Deku's mom has kind of the cool, subtle, low key, just kind of drift things to you. So I guess three things. So that was the first one. Second one. I don't want to see it, but I want to see it. Valkyrie Jean.
Yeah!
Anyway. But I'm really
Dear
surprised.
Fan artists, do it, please.
I'm really surprised that nobody's going this way. They said that it's intrinsic to the person that you are. What or who is intrinsic to the way that John has become a man? I think he's going to get polarity. He's going to get Pyrrha's semblance because it's so inherent to the person that he is, the person that he's trying to be.
She was the one that helped him unlock his aura in
exactly.
the first place.
I had never not thought that it was gonna be polarity.
Dude, I just got
and because they were stuck to each other.
Guys, I just got goosebumps. I
got all the ideas.
It never once crossed my mind.
Really? That's okay. But yeah, that's been my thought. And it's gonna be a big thing where there's like some giant metal whatever and it's gonna be going after somebody. I don't know who yet. Maybe Oscar. And it's just John's finally just gonna he's gonna feel it and that's gonna be that. We're gonna find out it's gonna be a polarity and everyone's gonna cry and or die. Maybe both.
I like that theory. I've honestly been thinking healing for him because our party is super unbalanced and we need a healer.
Fair,
and
but
I can see that fitting him also because he's been defined by a loss, mm-hmm. by a friendship, and also by a loss.
And turning
so
that loss into a strength.
Bingo. Right.
And I think people thought healing because when it was activated, it healed the scar, but that just put...
I feel like that's just aura.
Yeah, that's...
Well, because they talk... Again, they reiterated that, or you know, your aura can help heal injuries. It's one of the reasons why they can take the amount of damage that they consistently take on in mm-hmm. every given action sequence. Healing is just sort of something that comes with unlocking your aura and, you know, becoming more in tune with it. Being able to heal other people, though, that's I think would be considered a semblance.
Mm-hmm. Right, that would stretch out beyond.
Yeah,
and again, I think it'd be very fitting for him.
Healing someone else was what I was getting mm-hmm. at, not just personal.
Especially as we've seen him kind of grow to be the glue that's kind of keeping all of his teammates together, that is bringing everyone together time mm-hmm. and time again and offering that comfort and support when people need it.
Yeah. And again, it was something that was brought to kind of pivot a little bit, something that was brought up during the Yang character short. And, you know, the whole reason why they're doing hand-to-hand combat in the first place is because Ruby needs to work on her hand-to-hand combat training. Do we think this is potential foreshadowing for a little later on down the road this season or potentially later than that, where Crescent Rose gets knocked out of her hand or in some way, shape, or form becomes inoperable or broken and she has to fight with her fists.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We've had a pretty heavy focus on Ruby's fist fighting abilities, both with the short and, you know, in these episodes. So, yeah, I think we're headed towards
Chekhov's fisticuffs.
Well, I think since I don't remember who cut off the tail. Was that Crow or Ruby?
That was Crow.
It was Crow. Okay.
Yeah.
Are we sure?
No, it was Ruby.
Because he was focused on Crow.
Crow baited him, but it was Ruby that
took
the swing.
If he's getting a new tail, it's probably going to like make sure they can't cut it off. So it's going to be something where...
destroy Crescent Rose, first and foremost.
Or tie down the tail, but that still means that he can fight, and then you have to go in or... Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody that said Ruby. Appreciate it.
Literally, everyone. Well, there's over 100 people, and everyone is saying Ruby did it. Ruby
is a lot of Ruby.
This is one of those story things that comes back around.
And absolutely. That's how you can tell how long our chat delay is.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we are running short on time. Is there anything else we want to say about this segment of the episode or about the episode in general before we move into some really quick predictions?
I enjoyed the hell out of this. This was a good one.
Yes, this is a satisfying episode.
Yes.
For a lot of reasons.
Yes.
This is super solid. I liked hearing that semblances can evolve.
Yeah.
And it's not just one thing. It's not just one ability, but it's how you can use it, which would explain why Ozpin's, when he was fighting Cinder, was just like, what is it?
Yep.
It's everything.
What is it? It could
He's
be everything.
He's had millennia to get his noise figured out. Yeah. Like...
Mm-hmm. Long time to grow and change and evolve. Mm-hmm.
All I can think of is the tiger and bunny, the villain of the first arc. Oh, I'm sure his power is this. And then it's like, oh, he just figured out some super creative uses. Hey. You know, spoilers for a series that's been out for years.
That's a show I need to rewatch. It's
yes!
super good.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, let's move into some really quick predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I mean, we've been making predictions all episode, but because we focused mostly on, you know, Weiss, Yang, and Ruby in this episode, I feel like the next one's going to go back to Menagerie.
Probably. Really quick Photoshop. Go to hashtag RWBYABTV. Thanks, Mal. Malachroma gave us Jean as Mercy.
It looks pretty.
And the new animation, it's pretty solid.
Oh my god,
it's pretty dang solid.
I'm sorry.
I need a healer. I am the healer.
I need another healer.
I should not have let that get me so off track.
Yeah,
no, that was a thing of wonder and glory.
100% worth it.
Katie, rapid fire predictions. I know, right?
That's all I got. You go. Come back to me.
So as I've been thinking about it, this is way more suited for Ruby Chibi, but I want whatever Weiss and oh my god, Yang to find out what they find out about Ozpin for them to then get there with little Oscar in the room, unassuming they don't know that it's Ozpin, and just start blurting out all the stuff that they learned, and Oscar just
conceal, don't feel.
So, by the way, I'm off.
Well, no, actually, I think that's possible because in the meeting last episode, they said nobody outside this room is to know what's going on.
And I haven't seen it yet. Oh, sorry.
Last episode? Okay.
I thought we were talking about other things.
Previous. sleeping pills.
You did an entire show about an episode you hadn't seen?
I have extremely selective memory.
I hope we get some fast travel, regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I agree that we're probably going back to Menagerie.
Some, like, Game of Thrones, like, we're here now.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of theories that Blake's story is happening at a different time to everything else we're watching, so that it'll be less fast travel and more, no, her story is a month behind, and she's been traveling for a month, and she's here, and look at that timing, ho boy.
That's a good point. I do hope that they let us know how much time is passing for each individual group.
Sure. Farley on Twitter, which, by the way, hi Farley, says, technically it sounds like Silver Eyes are a counterspell to the Maidens, just saying, talking about semblances that that counteract one another. And pyrotechnic, again, trying not to confuse the terms, but I'd like Jean's semblance to be similar to the Paladin's Aura of Vitality spell from D&D. So I like that.
Okay.
It's pretty nifty. Yeah. All right, guys. I feel like that just about does it for this this week's episode. Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxe. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you want to see Megan and I react to these episodes, those videos are on that YouTube channel. My only other active show at this point is Z Nation. That's Mondays at 7. And we just finished Robots in Disguise yesterday. So if you guys want to go watch the series finale with a full studio and four guests, pop on over to the AfterBuzz Animation channel. That video is up. It's super fun to watch. May have cried like a lot.
Everything's fine.
A lot of crying.
Stacey, where can you go?
I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles.
That was perfect. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Majonic. You can find Stacey and I on the Twitch channel Inventory Full PT. We do talk shows. We do streaming. We do a whole bunch of stuff. So if you're on Twitch, please give us a follow. We're trying to do some pretty big growth. We got some fun stuff planned coming up. And we've been replaying a lot of our best streams and shows. So make sure to check it out. Inventory Full PT. Also wanted to thank at Chessboard. It was D Jester's Chessboard who left the fan art of Don't Talk to Me or My Monkey Son, which I humbly appreciate. I think that's the first piece of art that I've called for, and somebody did it. So thank you very much. It's a very nice feeling, and we just appreciate everybody who's listening and watching. Follow the team at ABTV Rooster Team as well.
Yep, I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I am on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 K's. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to also check out season 2 of The Shadow Radio Recreation, where I do the voice of Margot Lane, and one day I will learn how to say the word recreation. Anyway, thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Dust you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.